This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration blends classroom learning with extensive field education, guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Testing, testing. All right. I think we're good. What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown.
I'm Roland.
All right, let's do this. So today I'm at a brewery with Steve Hendershot. He's a freelance reporter.
Steve Hendershot, welcome to The Rundown.
Thank you for having me.
Steve has been looking into something that's starting to catch on in Chicago, THC beverages that you can drink right here at a bar.
We're sitting here at Hopewell Brewing in Logan Square. You got a Choom sitting there in front of you, and we're here to talk about it. Tell me, just give me a sense, what is Choom?
Choom is an interesting type of new product, especially for a brewery like this. So this is a THC beverage, not a beer, even though we're in a brewery. It is more like a seltzer. It's also not the kind of THC beverage you can get in a dispensary.
Choom is Hopewell's very own canned seltzer. And it's made with THC, you know, the main compound in cannabis that gets you high. But as Steve said, it's different from the THC foods and drinks that you can get at a dispensary for a couple reasons. One, it's lower octane.
What Hopewell is doing, they have Choom Light. One is a 10 milligram, pretty low dose. And then what I have in front of me is Choom Light at 3 milligrams, even lower potency compared to what I saw when I was reporting, went into a dispensary in Andersonville. All of those beverages were 100 milligrams, so.
10 times the amount.
10 times.
Ugh.
Now, the other difference is really the key to this whole conversation. In Illinois, it's only legal to sell marijuana at a dispensary. So when I heard that Hopewell was selling Choom, I was intrigued. How are they doing this? The answer is hemp. Choom is made out of hemp, not marijuana. And that's why you can buy it and drink it right here in the tap room.
In some ways, this feels like an interesting loophole because to create these beverages sold in breweries, they're still extracting a dose of THC from hemp to do it. So legally, the reason they're able to do that is because hemp products are covered in the Farm Bill, not the legislation that covers most of the rest of THC world.
Hemp and marijuana are the same species of plant, but Steve says they differ in one important way: how much psychoactive THC they have. Marijuana has a lot of THC. Hemp has very little. So little that in 2018, Congress passed a farm bill that removed hemp from the federal list of controlled substances. In Illinois, marijuana-based THC is legal, but heavily regulated. You can't really consume it anywhere but the privacy of your own home, with a few exceptions, legally speaking. Hemp has no such restrictions, and it still has THC. It just takes way more hemp to get you high.
They have to go through, I think, 60 times more hemp to pull out the same amount. So, ecologically, this doesn't seem like an awesome situation, but, yeah. but it is what provides for this to happen.
Okay, so we're clear on the legality. Now I'm wondering, if you're a brewery that makes, beer, why dabble into THC beverages? And to get the answer to that question, I needed to talk to one of the owners of Hopewell.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Erin.
Hello, nice to meet you. I'm Samantha.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having us here.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
This is Samantha Lee. She gave me a tour of where they make Choom.
It's going to be a little bit loud as we go in the back. We are running our equipment today.
All right, so we're walking into the back brewery skeletal area back here. It's loud.
All right, watch your step on the curb.
Coworkers. Oh, thank you. Got a little curb we got to step up on here.
We brew and we package everything here on site. So we've crammed a ton into this space. Essentially, it's a retail space.
Samantha says they buy the THC for Choom in liquid form. It's from a Chicago company called Perfectly Dosed. Then at Hopewell, they emulsify it in water inside of one of their massive brewing tanks.
And then this is where we actually can all of the chum.
Through here?
Yep. So this entire machine.
Oh, this machine.
Yeah. It's in the shape of a U.
It's giving Lucille Ball.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Chocolate factory.
It feels like that at the end of a table when you're trying to, like, get everything off.
I love it. Yeah. Lucy and Ethel. We got to give Ethel her props, too.
It's a small space back here. But chum is just carbonated water in a liquid emulsion. Samantha says that means it takes a lot less space to make chum than it does to make beer.
What's the deal with the name chum?
For us, it was just like a fun, like, 70s, like, slang for weed. Yeah, that's sort of all we were really drawn to, is just, like, how silly it is. Because, one, we wanted it to feel lighthearted and goofy.
Yeah.
We're not selling a health drink. At the end of the day, what we're selling is something that gets you a little bit high, and we want to be really transparent about that and have fun with it. I think that there are ways to market this kind of drink as, like, zero alcohol or, like, zero calorie or, like, no low calorie, that kind of thing. Those things are true, but for us, it's like, why are we drinking it? Why did we make it? We made it because it just offers someone a different experience, and we're really excited about just being able to fold that kind of thing into Hopewell.
I know that as a brewery, you know, there are a lot of considerations you have to make. You know, there are so many breweries. Mm-hmm. Sometimes business can, you know, can be hard, and I'm wondering if there's a shift in brewery culture right now that you're using chum to kind of respond to.
Yeah, I think a lot has changed over the last, I mean, since we opened, for sure.
Which was 8 years ago.
8 years ago, yes.
Almost exactly.
I know. And a lot has changed since the pandemic. Drinking habits have changed, as well as what people are looking for when they go out to have drinks. Maybe they're drinking less. It's really to be social. And so how can we meet people where they are? Mm-hmm. We try not to be too highbrow or pretentious about what we're making, but we're very proud of what we make at the same time. So I think it definitely is in response to shifts in drinking culture, in taproom culture, in beer culture. And for us as a, you know, not new business, but not heritage business, we do have to think about how do we stay relevant.
Yeah. How are you thinking about the different generations and age groups and stuff with chum and, and with your products in general, too?
I think, you know, we've only had it for a couple weeks.
Okay.
But anecdotally, I've heard from folks that we've, from our taproom staff, that we're seeing younger people in the taproom enjoying chum, which is really cool. I think millennials always rag on Gen Z. But I kind of love them. Like, I just think they're really, I don't know, I just love the way they dress, and I love the way they talk about themselves, and they talk about mental health, and the way they talk about just being true to themselves. I have cousins who are Gen Z, and I just think they're so smart.
Yeah.
They're really smart about how they're consuming, too. They are very online, but they're not posting, like, drunk photos of themselves. They're, you know, they're savvy in that way.
Gotta be, man. They understand that stuff lives forever.
Forever, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's different for us.
I know, and I think, you know, it's silly not to consider them seriously.
Mm-hmm. I know that this hemp component is a bit of a loophole, right? You were saying if you were doing it with marijuana, you would have to have all these other regulations and things going on. Probably you'd have to sell it at a different location.
Right,
it doesn't have alcohol. But maybe eventually there could be some more legal restraints around this.
For sure.
And I wonder if, you know, I wonder how you're thinking about that. Does it make it a little risky as an investment for your business in that case?
Yeah, I think there definitely is some inherent risk in doing something that doesn't have clear guidance from the state yet. Mm-hmm. We're hoping for clear guidance from the state. On our end, we've sort of tried to tick the boxes where we can assume there will be some regulation. For instance, it's a 21 plus beverage. We are providing a certificate of analysis on the can itself to show that the potency is correct and that it is a compliant hemp THC product, that it is farm bill compliant. And so we're taking those steps, sort of anticipating those requirements. Minnesota is the case study. So Minnesota has legalized hemp-based THC products. So we're looking to that state to see what they have put into place, and we've adopted a lot of what they've done internally as a company, and a lot of other businesses are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for sure, it's definitely, it's not zero risk. But we're hopeful that because it's a burgeoning industry, that Illinois will, it's unlikely that Illinois will kill an industry. That more likely there will be regulation, which is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Collect those taxes, you know?
Yeah. Samantha, this is great. Thank you so much for inviting us here. And yeah, thanks for talking to me.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming. Yeah, enjoy the chum later.
Yes.
Now, Samantha's telling me to enjoy the chum, which I bought later, because long story short, my boss has said I can't be out here getting high while we're recording a show. Steve, though, they had no problem letting me watch him take a few sips.
We're here with you. You're going to have some chum. Let's crack it open.
All right, here we go. So I was here before to report, and the can didn't exist yet. I saw the can art on a computer screen, and I had, like, ladled out of a clear plastic test batch, uncarbonated. So this is the same thing, but with bubbles.
Let's yes.
go. Ooh, it's better.
It's better?
Yeah.
How so?
I mean, same character. So it's lemon-lime flavored, pretty salt-forward. The carbonation just helps bring that to life. But it's, I mean, whatever. They're promising a mellow experience. It's also a mellow flavor.
Mm. I mean, what do you think? I mean, are you, is that going to get you going? You know, what do you got going on for the rest of the day? What are you anticipating here with this 3 milligrams?
I was curious before, and I had about, you know, half of this small can.
Uh-huh.
I think it's 8 fluid ounces.
Okay.
And I didn't feel anything, so that was good. Today I have more interviews to do right after this, so I need the same result, but I'm pretty confident that that's what will happen.
Okay. I want to talk about the industry in general. You mentioned that, you know, there are other breweries in the region that are doing this, and I wonder if it speaks to whether or not the brewery industry is in trouble in Chicago. I know it's a saturated market. Can you get into what the industry is looking at?
I would be so happy to answer that question after I've had another sip.
Yes, be my guest.
Thank you. Okay, so trouble only in the sense that this industry has been growing so rapidly for so long and spawned so many new businesses, so many new breweries. And it's kind of like you can price in the fact that there's room for all of us and that we grow by X percent every year. So it's not like there's some huge decline in craft beer sales. They're just kind of flat. But that's not how there are a lot of players.
Yeah.
Based on the pie grows every year. And so I think when that suddenly happened, you know, there were pandemic challenges for some breweries more so than others. And now that the growth has stalled, again, not really reversed, but stalled, it does create challenges.
Yeah. So Hopewell is one that's doing this THC, venturing into the THC beverage space. Mars Brewing in McKinley Park was the first one to do this, I believe. Do you think this is going to be a trend? Do you think this is a sign of a shift in craft brewery?
Oh, yeah. I talked to the head of the State Craft Brewers Guild. They had done like an informational session about the possibility of breweries doing THC drinks. I think more than half of the breweries in the state showed up to that to experiment.
Oh, wow.
I think this is, you know, it was Mars and then Hopewell. Here we are talking about it. I think by this summer there could be many offerings.
Yeah. Okay.
I come to this as a craft beer nerd, not someone with a lot of THC experience, but I think there's a lot of craft beer culture overlap. It's not like you're bolting on some foreign idea that no beer fan has ever thought might work. So I think you're probably drawing some more people in without really alienating the 40-something beer nerd demographic of which I am proudly a part.
You can find hemp-derived THC beverages like Chum in some of your local grocery stores and at breweries like Hopewell, Mars, and maybe soon, many more. Big thanks to Samantha Lee at Hopewell and reporter Steve Hendershot. You can check out Steve's article at WBEZ.org. It's called The New Frontier for Chicago Brewers, mellow weed drinks that don't resemble beer. And that's it for today. Thanks to Justin Bull and Sarah Stark for producing The Rundown, and to Ariel Van Clee for editing the show. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Justin and I both engineered this episode. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you love The Rundown, give us a rating, write us a review. It helps more people find the show. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.